Welcome to The Nourished Nervous System, an exploration of stress, the nervous system, and transformative self-care practices for parents and other humans through the lenses of Ayurveda, holistic coaching, somatic practices, herbs, and much, much more. I'm the host, Kristen Timchak, a holistic life coach, Ayurvedic educator, herbalist, and mother of a tiny human. Please join me for information, insight, deep thoughts, and small steps to help you nourish your nervous system. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Nourished Nervous System. I'm so happy you're here. So I'm in another school vacation week with my son, and so I'm going to do a little bit of a shorter episode, a little less research, a little bit more of my personal experience and off the cuff. So the idea of this episode came about from an interview I recorded recently with Micah Martelli, the author of Rewilding. And the episode with Micah will be out next week. But in the very beginning of the episode, we talk very briefly about sobriety as a form of self-care. And I've never really thought of it in that particular frame before. And so since the interview, I've just been thinking about it a lot over the past few weeks. And so I've just decided to do a little shorty episode about it because I think there can be a lot of reactions and assumptions about sobriety. And I think it's a really super interesting topic. I think there are so many reasons that people choose to practice sobriety in their lives, varying from, you know, they are working with big addictions, and so they need to be sober in order to function in their lives, or from spiritual practice, or just because that's what feels the best in their bodies, in their minds, in their nervous system. I think there's also a lot of definitions and nuances to sobriety. Like, is sobriety just not drinking alcohol, or is it no substances, or is it really working on not having addictions? So there's so many layers and levels to it. And so something I've been thinking about a lot lately is that sober doesn't mean without addiction. And I think that can maybe sometimes be an assumption that's made about someone who is quote unquote sober. I mean, there are plenty of socially accepted and healthy things that we can still be addicted to. There are plenty of things besides substances that we can be addicted to. And there are certain substances like sugar or maybe caffeine that someone might still consider being sober, but there's still substances that can create addiction and plenty of harm. So I know plenty of people who may not use substances, but who are addicted to work or exercise or food, especially sugar, or addicted to drama or scrolling or listening to fantasy books, which is definitely one of my addictions. And so for me personally, sobriety has been something I've experimented with on and off throughout my adult life. But more recently, I've been thinking more about my relationship with addiction. So currently, I'm mostly sober because I'm working with Hashimoto's, which is an autoimmune disease that affects the thyroid. And so I'd actually love to be able to have a drink every once in a while, but drinking alcohol makes me feel pretty terrible. Same with caffeine and sugar, and actually even chocolate, which is probably one of the biggest bummers for me of them all. And so in order to feel good, I need to be really aware of what I'm putting in my body, as well as my lifestyle choices. And so it's this constant listening to my body. And so for me, right now in my life, the impulse for sobriety, it's coming from inside. It's not something dogmatic or rigid or something I feel like I should do or something I think is morally better than anything else. It's simply been this practice of me tuning in and listening to my body. And as I listen, responding. And when my body and mind seem to feel the best is when I'm mostly sober. And so every once in a while, I may have a sip of good tequila or mezcal. A couple months ago, I experimented having a tiny, tiny sliver of a cannabis gummy, and I probably won't do that again for a really, really long time. for me, it's not something that's so strict and rigid. It's something that where there's space and room for some experimentation, but what's is solid and consistent is me listening to my body. So trying something, how's that feel? Nope. Still doesn't feel good. Okay. Back to just being in my sober path. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of my personal path with substance and sobriety, because I think it can give you a view of where I'm at right now. And so when I was growing up, my father owned a liquor store. It was a family business that was passed on from my grandfather to my father and my uncle. And so I ended up spending a lot of time there when I was growing up. I saw a lot of his customers coming in. And just in general, my parents, they were responsible drinkers, but alcohol, like just, it wasn't a big deal in our house. It wasn't something taboo. So I had sips of wine and beer when I was little. And I even had my own teeny tiny champagne glass for New Year's. And so when I was a teenager, I was quite rebellious, and alcohol just didn't feel rebellious to me because it was something that I grew up around that was very accepted. And early on, I had a couple pretty horrible experiences with it. So that kind of steered me away from it. But I definitely started experimenting with psychedelics and smoking cannabis in high school. And back then we didn't call it cannabis. We just called it pot. And it was probably from Mexico, and it came in bricks and was sometimes laced with other much sketchier things. And I grew up outside of New York City in Connecticut, and I got into the rave scene in the 90s. And so I had tons of access to just about everything. I went to college in New Hampshire, which changed that somewhat. I definitely drank some more. I smoked a ton of cannabis. I did some psychedelics in the first couple of years of college, but then I started getting into hiking and snowboarding and eventually yoga and eating healthy. And so even though I wasn't by any means sober, I was also beginning to develop a connection to myself and my body and doing things that really brought me a lot of joy and started getting me more onto the path that I'm on today. When I was 25, I went to volunteer at Kripalu Yoga Center for 3.5 months. And I feel like this was one of those big forks in my life. This was a time where two different lives seemed to kind of fork out from either side of the path. And I chose to go down the path that was Kripalu. And I think it was one of the best things I've ever done for myself. And so before I went, I was pretty depressed. I was smoking a lot of cannabis. I was working part-time on an organic farm, which I loved, but also working this really stressful waitressing job. I was drinking tons of coffee, which was really fun when I'd first drink it. But then I was having these huge emotional crashes from it. And so I went to live at this yoga center where at the time they didn't even have coffee on site. And so for the first little bit, the other volunteers and I, we'd go into town occasionally and I'd get an iced coffee from the local coffee shop. But eventually I made this conscious choice to really dive into the yogic lifestyle and to experiment with sobriety for my time there. So I gave up cannabis and coffee. I wasn't really drinking before I went there, so that wasn't a thing. But I just dove into yoga and breathwork and, you know, just connecting with other people who were in the same path as me. And it was just life-changing for me. And it gave me the space to really feel how those substances were affecting my mind and body and emotions. And when I left Kripalu, I continued with that path for a little while. And it was definitely challenging at first. I was in my 20s and it was different than what I had been doing with my friends. And so to kind of try to connect with my friends in different ways. But the truth is that I'm kind of a weirdo and I think and talk about weird things all the time. And so yeah, I can be pretty social when I want to be. And so I found that I didn't really need substances to connect with other people and to go to those places of having interesting or weird conversations. So as I've moved through my life, my relationship with sobriety has come in waves. I feel like I've experienced a spectrum of things from times of total debauchery to times of really strict sobriety to times of when I felt I've had a really healthy relationships with substances. And the one thing that has stayed really constant is I haven't drinking coffee since that time at Kripalu. I've gone through many phases with other types of caffeine, from yerba mate to puer to chai tea to kombucha. I even went through a little phase of chewing coca leaves. Caffeine paired with pushing too much and overbooking my life during that time period, mixed with my particular constitution and imbalances, probably really set the scene for my current autoimmune condition. Like, if I could go back to my 30 to 35 year old self and give myself advice, it'd be to stop drinking caffeine and focus on taking care of my adrenal health. And I think that would have put me into a different place than where I'm at now. I've also had a spectrum of experiences with cannabis and alcohol and psychedelics. And so sobriety is a place of reset. It's a place to cut the ties that are pulling me in different directions and just get to be with myself, just myself. And like many things, it would often take a little while to get back to that place of balance again. So if you're working with an addiction that you've had for a long time or something that's really intense, I really recommend getting support around it because it really just doesn't feel great at first. When you've been giving your body this certain substance for a long period of time and then taking it away, having support around it can be really helpful. And it takes a little bit, even if your addiction is something as, you know, mild as caffeine, it can take a little bit to actually start feeling good again. And so I've done this dance for the years of sobriety, and then something creeps in, a beer here and there, a little bit of cannabis, and sometimes it spirals out. And before I know it, it's become more regular until I go through another period of sobriety. And the reason I'm telling you all of this is because I want you to know that I don't have judgments around your path or anyone's path with substance. I don't think substances are bad. I think everything has its time and place, and different people have different constitutions and abilities to process things. And I also know that for me, sobriety has been really powerful, but I don't think it's a superior path or the only way. Like I said, it's not something dogmatic for me, but it's something that has been a powerful tool. And so I became totally sober when I found out I was pregnant. This was 5 years ago. I'd actually stopped using cannabis like a year or two before, and I was having occasional drinks and occasional caffeine, but starting to really see the effect of caffeine on my nervous system at this time. So I was moving away from even that. And so at that point, sobriety was a really easy choice for me. It was where I was heading anyway. And that was 5 years ago. And I did have some periods when my son was small that I had some drinks, like potty training was pretty stressful. And I remember having some wine and that kind of helped get me through. But when I found out about my autoimmune disease, that all stopped. And so now I would say that I'm mostly sober. If I didn't have the limitation of my autoimmune condition, then I would probably have a drink now and then. I would definitely eat chocolate. But as much as this can be a bummer sometimes, especially in celebratory situations like going to a wedding or a party, it's also such a gift because sobriety's been this doorway for me to truly look at my relationship with addiction and to find ways to feel good that are actually good for my body. So for me, meditation and somatic practices, spending time in nature and dancing are ways that I release stress and tension and get the feel-good chemicals circulating in my brain. And I think that probably most people have addictions in our society. Some are just more socially acceptable than others. But the truth is we are dopamine-seeking creatures. It's wired into us to seek out things that give us the reward of dopamine. And in our modern society, there are so many easily accessible ways to do this. It's almost impossible not to have some type of addiction. And so I just try to think of healthy ways I can also support my dopamine. I guess for me, something I notice with this extended period of sobriety is that my life is more even-keeled. I don't have as many of the super high highs, but I'm also not having the super low lows. And the past couple of years were extremely stressful for me. And I feel really proud that I went through them sober. I got to really process and move through all of my emotions and stress and get it out of my body in ways that help to support my body and my nervous system. And so I think the reason that I'm here telling you my story is just, I want you to know that wherever you are in your relationship with sobriety and substances, just know that I see you and that I've probably been there at some point and that it's all okay. There's no moral judgment. You get to experiment and learn and listen to your body to find what the best balance for your particular constitution is. There's no best way to do this life, only what's best for you. And sobriety can be really powerful and it can be an act of self-care. And so if you haven't experimented with sobriety in your life, my invitation would be to give it a try for a small amount of time, long enough to actually feel the balance. And as I said earlier, if you're struggling with some bigger addictions, then seeking out some professional support from a therapist or counselor or some other type of support. But sobriety can be an interesting experiment. So my small step for the week is just to notice how your body and nervous system respond to the things that you put in your body without judgment or necessarily trying to change it, but just begin that practice of listening and gathering information and see where it leads. Okay, friend, I'm so happy you're here. And if you'd like any support around finding ways you can cultivate some healthy responses to stress and ways to support your nervous system, then check out my Nourished for Resilience workbook. It's www.nourishnervousystem.com/resilience workbook. There will also be a link in the show notes for it. There's an assessment tool, some categories of ways to support your nervous system, as well as a habit tracker to begin to create some new habits. So if this episode was helpful for you, please feel free to share it with someone who could benefit from it. And if you share on social media, tag me at Nourish Nervous System. And if you'd like to go deeper with some one-on-one work around nervous system health, resilience, and self-care, schedule an exploratory call using the link in the show notes. Okay. Thanks so much for being here. I'll be back next week with my interview with Micah, which is really great. I'm excited to share it with you. Have a great week. Hey there. Thanks so much for listening. I'm feeling slightly less awkward, but this podcast thing is still a big learning curve. So I appreciate you staying tuned as I learn. If you are enjoying the podcast, please rate and review. It helps me get seen by people besides my friends. And if you are not enjoying the podcast, I hope you're not still listening, because life is way too short to listen to podcasts you don't like.